I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday, boys and girls. One question to one question only. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we appreciate you being with us. Coming up in 20 minutes, Ross Tucker's going to join us from the NFL on CBS and Westwood One. And then also we'll do advanced analytics. Pat Boyle and Bogus have been fighting all morning long. Is it already spooky season? In other words, is it okay to have your Halloween decorations up in September? Also, we've got your epic fail coming up later on in the hour. We start with Justin Fields, who's the story right now in the NFL world. Yesterday, he admitted during his press conference that he is playing robotic, which is an interesting admission. He certainly looks that way. Maybe not surprising that he feels like that's happening, but maybe a little surprising he would admit it. But even more surprising when asked to follow up, well, what is making you, causing you to play robotically? He admitted it was coaching. That was during the press conference earlier in the day. Firestorm ensued because it looked like he was blaming the coaches for his poor play. And then later on during locker room availability, came out to set the record straight. Here's a combination of everything that Justin Fields said in both sessions yesterday.
Felt like I was kind of robotic and, you know, not playing like myself. So, my goal this week is just to, you know, say effort and just go out there and, you know, play football how I know how to play football. And that's not, that includes thinking less and just going out there and, you know, playing off of instincts rather than just of, you know, so much, so to say, info in my head, data in my head, and literally just going out there playing football. Could be, coaching, I think. But, at the end of the day, they're doing their job when they're giving me, you know, what to look at and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I, you know, can't be thinking about that when the game comes. I prepare myself throughout the week. And then when the game comes, it's time to play free at that point. So thinking less and, you know, playing more.
Whatever happens in the game, I would take all the blame. Never will you hear anything come out of my mouth to where I will blame it on somebody else in this organization, my teammates. Never will you hear that. So I just want to clear that up and just know that, like, I need to play better. That's it. Point blank. If y'all, that's what I should have said in the first place.
There's a couple of things here. Justin Fields admitting that he's playing robotically shows you a frustration he has with his own play. And if you listen to his entire press conference in its entirety, you hear him echo this multiple times as he's being asked about this multiple times. But he is clearly frustrated by his own play, maybe embarrassed by it, maybe feeling like he needs to be farther along and he's not. But that much is obvious. He's not okay with what is going on right now, and he's a little out of answers. And when asked, well, why you're playing robotically, he says, well, pauses and then says coaching. Later on, he would admit in the same press conference, look, they're going to give me information. I've got to digest it. And it's on me to make it work. And so while it seems like at the start, He is pushing all the buck to the coaches. Later on, he does own his part of this. What I think you have is a young player who is frustrated without answers about why, for the first time in his career, he's really struggling. And his honest assessment is, I'm getting fed too much stuff and it's confusing me. Now, is that because Justin Fields is not processing at the right rate? Or is that the coaches have their own problem? They're giving him the wrong information or they're not sensing what his comfort level is. It's hard to really know. You'd have to get truth serum on somebody that's not part of either one of those banks, because the coaches, I'm sure, will say it's on Justin Fields and the Fields camp will say it's definitely on the coaches. But I thought you just had a rare moment of total candor that doesn't happen because a quarterback or a player is not supposed to ever blame his coach. But I didn't think it was World War III in Chicago. What I thought was that this is a candid moment for a kid that's struggling. When he comes out of the locker room and then accuses the media of trying to create a rift in the locker room, that's when I said, see, that's where you're not learning. Is it the worst thing in the world to admit verbally that, hey, the coaching's got my brain scrambled? It's not ideal, but it's not the worst thing in the world because it's honest. But what you're doing then by coming out of the locker room and pointing the finger at the media is then not taking your own accountability of, you know what, I phrased that the wrong way, I shouldn't have said it that way, and it's nobody's fault but my own. If this whole thing, and he goes consistently into the messaging when he comes out of the locker room or he's in the locker room by saying, I would never point the finger, I would never blame my coaches, I would never blame my teammates, that's not who I am, I would never do that, never do that, never do that. And I respect you all. I respect what you do. I respect the media. You know, you can just tell it's talking points. You could just tell he's a guy on ice skates right now because he's being fed by the team's PR staff, I'm sure. Maybe his own agents, PR people. Hey, when you go out there, put cold water on this fire by saying, I would never point the finger and I respect the media. And he's just regurgitating there. And I thought, you know what? As I watched the second part of the day unfold for him, I said, this right here is indicative of what's happening on the field. Justin's being fed the clarify that you would never blame anybody else and that you would never throw your teammates or coaches under the bus because that's what you're supposed to do. But make sure you respect the media by saying, I respect you have a job to do, blah, 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 blah. That's what you're supposed to do. But what were the two moments of honesty? It was when asked why you're playing robotic, he said, coaching. That's his honest assessment. And when he comes out of the locker room and he's mad at the media. That's the two things that were honest. The honest parts about yesterday. And some have interpreted this as a moment where Justin Fields breaks away from Eberflus, from the OC, from the quarterback's coach, and the information being pumped into his brain and is saying, I'm sick and tired of that. I'm overloaded. I'm just going to ball. Now, is this a clear flag plant of sovereignty here by a young quarterback? I don't think so. I think that's really wishful thinking in Chicago that somehow this is a moment where he's saying, you know what, I'm just going to ball and I don't care what the coaches say. I think Justin Fields wants to do well. I think he probably wants to please his coaches. I'm sure it has not been going well. And so he's, you know, you're kind of forced to trust authority. He doesn't have a lot of evidence that he can do this at an elite level. So, of course, you're supposed to trust the supposed experts, the authorities in the building that are telling you how to succeed. But he's not getting the evidence that it is succeeding. So my takeaway here is Justin Fields is right now fighting a war within himself. The honesty part of him is, in his brain, man, I've balled my entire life and I'm just overthinking things because these coaches, they don't trust me. And these coaches don't really know what they're talking about and it ain't working. But he's then trying to counterbalance that with the role of quarterback, the public face, the franchise savior. And this is not an easy solution one way or the other, because A, it sounds great. This is kind of like the American story of the cowboy or the pirate. It's the renegade, the swashbuckler going out, do it my way, guns ablazing, I'll do it my way. You know, but that doesn't work in football. A quarterback doesn't just go out there and play sandlot football and win big games. But also, this Bears coaching staff doesn't have any credibility either. So this, I think, is, unfortunately for the Bears, permanently broken. Because one side's going to have to give in, and neither side has the credibility yet to do so. Either Fields has to suppress his natural inclination to just ball on instincts, or the coaching staff has to take what it feels is its expertise out of the equation and just build an offense around Justin Fields kind of winging it. Can they find a middle ground? Maybe, but it forces Justin Fields to have to kind of rise to a level mentally that he has not proven he's at. Because yesterday was a, you know what, I'm just going to start doing what I know how to do best. And again, that sounds great. People will eat that out of the hands of the, you know, the alpha, as we kind of joke around with Boyle about. But the alpha, the cowboy, the John Wayne in American history is the renegade, the rogue, the individualist, the quarterback, which symbolically is everything in sports of what we as Americans believe is the righteous way to succeed. You got to be Steve Jobs. You got to break convention. You got to do it your way and never be told no. And even when you fail, trust yourself. Don't ever, ever, ever compromise your own ethos. And so it sounds great, Justin Fields. You know what? Take the ball in your hand and you just do you. When the hell has that ever worked in football? Brett Favre might be the best example of that. And guess when he started winning? When he finally bought into Mike Holmgren's offense. Not before, not after. You know, we can talk about it all we want. Oh, man, that's a swashbuckler. That ain't winning. It ain't going to win. Not in year number three. No.
And DA, who comes out of this looking the ugliest? Is it Fields? Is it Matt Eberflus? Or is it the OC, Luke Getsy?
Getsy.
Yeah. Because it feels like this is a direct shot at him.
Because what could Eberflus be doing? He's a defensive guy. He's probably not pumping play calling and reads and stuff into Fields. This is all the OC. And like I said, Getsy, what credibility does he have right now? This is not an experienced guy that's won a Super Bowl somewhere else or run a bunch of offenses in the NFL. So it sounds to me like it's a inexperienced or... You know, just a guy that if Justin Fields is playing for the Chiefs and is asked why you're playing robotically and he says coaching,
he's getting crushed.
He's getting absolutely annihilated, and rightfully so. When you say it about the Bears coaching staff, it sounds like he's probably right in some regards.
And Getsy was the OC for the Packers the last 2 years after Hackett left. And to put it in Pete Bilotti's words, their offense, very bland. So it's a boring offense, but, you know, I understand the coaching staff wanting to protect Fields and not wanting to set up a bunch of design runs, because if he gets hurt, who's the backup? Tyson Bagent? Or now it's Nathan Peterman? But also at the same time, that's his best weapon right now. He's not very good at throwing the football. He's not very good at reading defenses. He literally had, who was it, Cole Kmet or somebody wide naked, butt naked, wide open, streaking down the field, and he decides to run directly into a sea of bodies, as you said. So you got to draw up some runs for him. You have to. He ran the ball with 3 times for 4 yards the other day. You got to let the kid use his legs. Yep. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But, I mean, you can't sit back and have another Sunday of what transpired in Tampa Bay.
Yep, both those games were just atrocious offensively. Getsy was the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator the last couple of years. I guess LaFleur was technically the play caller.
Yeah.
And then before that, just the quarterback's coach. Before that, at Mississippi State, he was the OC. When we come back here on the show, Ross Tucker's going to join us. Plus, we've got some toasts on the Thirsty Thursday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Elon Musk has 69 of the shorts.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you being with us on this Thirsty Thursday. We're doing toast to the good stuff, so join in on Twitter, DA on CBS. Just to follow up on that Chandler Jones story, he is not with the Raiders right now. He was tweeting a couple of weeks ago that he was locked out of the facility. Then he started posting on social media. I wish I could play with my brothers, but Marky Mark, as in Mark Davis, is holding a huge secret that only I know. He then went on to say, Mark Davis didn't know I didn't have any kids and I was fostering a very important man's kid. I won't say his name, but once I found out what was done to the little girl, I wasn't allowed back in the building. Now you're taking money out of my pocket. Here I am watching my team lose because someone was molesting a child. And he went on to say, you can call me whatever you want, CTE, a dumb football player, whatever y'all want, keyboard warriors. Meantime, children are getting molested. That's why I couldn't get a sack today, because people wanted to bleep, bleep, bleep and not expect me to get upset. As you might imagine, these were very explosive accusations and not quite sensical. Later on, Chandler Jones would claim my account got hacked. But these are the behaviors of a man that is clearly not right now in a good state of mind, not in a normal state of mind. And Chandler Jones has had episodes before that have led to questions about his mental wellness. A number of years ago, he stumbled into a police department in the greater New England area where Foxborough is, outside of Foxborough, and he was half naked and I think he was shirtless and walked in and started kneeling on the ground and saying crazy things. So Chandler Jones, unfortunately, has had a couple of episodes where you had to wonder about where exactly he's coming from. And this thing is why the Raiders won't talk about it, because it's starting to sound like a guy who's not well and maybe not on this planet right now, unfortunately. So that whole thing is very ugly and very sad, and hopefully he's okay and he gets help and the Raiders are able to get to him and somebody's able to connect with him and whatever that takes, get him back on track. But kind of scary stuff with social media these days, because people that are not well have access to broadcast to the world what they're going through if they're not in their right mind, and it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle. I mean, sure, he can say my account was hacked, but if you think about all the things that have led up to this and then what was written, you know, it seems like a pretty easy out that's not quite that believable. Okay, our next guest is an NFL on CBS analyst. How about that title? He's also on Westwood One. He's also one of our favorite guests here on the show when it comes to an Odyssey NFL insider. And I believe even though he does NFL largely, he's on an SEC game this week, Ole Miss and Alabama. Joining us this morning on the show, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker, presented by BetQL with insider calls. Download the free BetQL app right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. Ross, good morning.
DA, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Your schedule sounds exhausting.
Yeah, not really. I mean, do I get a lot of sleep? Probably not. Do I complain about it? Absolutely
well,
not.
Well, no. Of course you wouldn't complain.
I mean, dude, I was just telling somebody this the other day. I've never once said to my wife, I got to go to work, or called it my job. Like, I've always just said, I got to do a radio hit. I got to do a show. I got to go call a game. I mean, look, there's a lot of people driving right now to, like, real jobs. Like, they're really going to work right now. And I'm flying later today down to Alabama, and I'll be in the booth on TV for Ole Miss, Alabama, Tom McCarthy, Jason McCourty, you know, CBS, 3:30. I mean, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. You talk about life experience? Like, I'm so pumped. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome. It's a great perspective, and you're an incredibly versatile guy to be able to talk NFL, be on TV, do radio, college football as well. But, you know, I got to tell you, the Taysom Hill, Jim Thorpe thing, what is going on there? I mean, we were talking about that on the show here, Ross. I love you. I really do. But Jim Thorpe was a Major League Baseball player, a gold medalist Olympian, and one of the greatest football players of all time. Taysom Hill, my man, come on!
Dude, I meant everything I said about Taysom Hill.
Well, that's wrong.
Look, he's one of the best pure all-around football players of all time. He is.
You can't compare him to Jim Thorpe, who was a gold medalist Olympian in the decathlon.
He's the Jim Thorpe of modern day
No,
NFL.
He's not! No, don't
yes,
say that!
Yes, he is. D.A., can you name anybody else, any other NFL player in our lifetime, okay, who started games at quarterback, 7-2 as a starting quarterback is his record, who also returns kicks, who also is the punt protector and runs down on punts and kickoffs and makes tackles, who also gets split out wide as a receiver and they like throw him fade balls in the end zone. He plays tight end. He plays running back. He plays tailback. He blocks. Here's the thing, okay? Let's just say Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, let's just say they're two of the best quarterbacks ever. Agreed, right?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. So in terms of all-around football players, like Tom Brady can't tackle anybody. Tom Brady can't run with the ball or block anybody. I'm not talking about like the production they've had in their career. I'm not talking about like all-time greats. He's not having that kind of career. He's not that type of player. I'm talking about like if we're starting a football team, and you could only have one guy, and you clone him 11 times. Who else are you taking? I mean, Micah Parsons is up there because he's such a freak and could probably play a bunch of positions. My point is, in terms of an all-around football player and everything that a pure football player could be asked to do in a game, I don't know anybody else like Taysom Hill, dude. I mean,
well, Taysom Hill
runs with speed. He's fast as heck. He runs with power. He has a really strong arm. He blocks, and he knocks the crap out of people when he blocks. He runs down and makes tackles. What is the Venn diagram of guys that have started games at quarterback in the NFL and also run down on kickoffs and make tackles? Well, look at the Venn diagram, D.A. It's just Taysom Hill. He's the only guy in the Venn diagram.
Are we done here? I understand what you're saying in terms of the value and versatility of Taysom Hill on the football field, but you cannot in this argument say, I'm not talking about the all-time greats, and then invoke one of the 10 greatest athletes in global history. Jim Thorpe is the name you brought up, and he's an all-time great. If you want to say Taysom Hill's one of the most versatile football players, fine. But don't say Jim Thorpe, who played professional baseball and won a gold medal in the decathlon, along with being one of the greatest football players of all time, because Taysom Hill's not anything close to that.
You know what? Maybe if Taysom Hill was around back when Jim Thorpe
Come on! Don't do this!
Why are you... Dude, did you write a book about Jim Thorpe or something?
Like, no,
you are,
I respect the history of guys that...
You are really passionate about Jim Thorpe.
Yes, because what you said is hyperbole. What you said is complete hyperbole, and you know it.
I mean what I said. I think he's like the perfect football player.
Well,
I meant that.
But you can't compare him to Jim freaking Thorpe. It's disrespectful to Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe has a town named after him. Taysom Hill doesn't.
I know. I actually don't live that far from there.
Right.
I know. That's how Jim Thorpe
You should
my
be
head.
Writing the book on Jim Thorpe.
We move on. Look, I'm. Look, D.A., I spent every second my whole life to try to make the NFL, and I made it, and I played guard and center for 7 years, and I can't even begin to tell you how hard that is to do. Okay, like think about everybody driving right now. Like, think about your high school. Think about the best football player ever from your high school. Did they make the NFL? And if they did, like, for how long? The fact that Taysom Hill can legitimately play that many positions.
You're right.
In the end, like, I'm in awe of it.
It's
Forget
totally...
the Jim Thorpe thing, okay?
Yes.
Forget the Jim Thorpe thing because he played all the other sports. It's a little bit different. Although I'm sure Taysom Hill is from Idaho. I bet you right now, Taysom Hill, you know what? Google it. I guarantee Taysom Hill played like 17 sports in Idaho and was All-State Idaho all sports in all 17 sports.
Well, I think it's interesting because I would agree with you that Taysom Hill's versatility is amazingly impressive. But where I'm coming from is Jim Thorpe's versatility is so wildly impressive on top of what Taysom Hill is that you can't even compare the two, because Thorpe's versatility is like otherworldly alien if you can play those many professional sports. But that's like, whatever.
Here's what I would say. Here's how I'd call him, okay? He's not like Jim Thorpe because he's not playing for professional sports, although nobody can now. I would say he's the Jim Thorpe of the modern NFL, meaning in the same sense that Jim Thorpe excelled the decathlete. You know, Jim Thorpe played basketball too, by the way.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. People found that out later. Jim Thorpe played basketball too. So in the same way that Jim Thorpe excelled at four different sports, back in the day, Taysom Hill is, I think, very impressive at a number of different aspects of playing professional
football.
Yes,
we would agree there.
Of which I am like stunned that a human being can do. Now, maybe you can make the argument that maybe there's other guys that could do similar stuff to Taysom Hill, but they're so excellent at one thing that they're not asked to do that. You know, like I saw, like Micah Parsons grew up right next to where I live. Like, I saw him play high school running back, and let me assure you, he could probably play running back in the NFL if he wanted to.
I bet you there's a bunch of guys, you're right, that are such incredible athletes, they could actually excel at multiple positions on the football field. So I don't want to take that away from Taysom Hill, and you know that I love you, and I love that you're...
Hey, speaking of that, by the way,
yeah,
because you're a New York guy, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
At what point, and I'm asking your opinion, it's a question, at what point is it okay to compare Micah Parsons and what we're seeing from him to a guy like LT?
Not yet. I mean, he's clearly on a track to be one of the best players of the NFL for a while, but as you know, Lawrence Taylor steps into the Giants and by, I don't know, week two or week three, it's like, oh my God, this is the best defensive player in the NFL probably. He completely turns around the New York Giants defense, And he is a terror that changes offensive blocking schemes. I mean, Joe Gibbs basically had to alter his entire scheme to figure out ways to stop LT. He's a one-man wrecking crew. He's the defensive player of the year and an NFL MVP. Once we get to a point where Micah Parsons is so good, he's the league MVP, now we can have that conversation, but he's not there
yet. LT, it's either LT or Reggie White, probably the two best defensive players I feel like I've ever seen.
Totally. That's the list.
In my lifetime.
Yep. And that's probably all time, but that's the absolute modern list.
Yeah, and the guys that I've seen. And it's interesting because I will also say this, like, you know, when LT was playing DA, the offensive tackles were not like they are now, right? Like,
that's fair.
LT changed the game to the point where teams realized they had to get more athletic offensive tackles because he was so fast around the edge. It's interesting. Like, you know, it doesn't work this way, but it'd be interesting to flip them, right? Like, have Micah Parsons go back to 1981 and have LT be now. I'm just saying, like, man, when I watch him, there aren't that many guys that you watch in the NFL and you're just like, well, he's different. Like, he's moving differently than the other people that are out there. He's just a different player. And I feel like that's what we're watching with him. And, I mean, look, you know, his rookie year, he almost won the Defensive Player of the Year. He was second. Last year he was second again. I mean, he almost did the LT of being the best defensive player in the league his rookie year. He almost did it.
Yep. No, he's on the short list of one of those, my God, this guy's amazing. Every snap that you watch him play. I did want to get your take on the Fields thing, because I knew that you'd have an interesting angle on this. Do you appreciate his honesty about admitting, hey, man, coaching is kind of blurring my brain right now? Or do you think that there's a lot of blame on the coach's side for making his brain kind of soupy like that?
Well, first of all, I guess I give him credit for after practice trying to clarify it and realizing, you know, what I like about it, DA, is that he wasn't intentionally trying to throw his, like, when he did the press conference before practice, it sounded like he was, like, trying to put all the blame on the coaches. So I'm a big believer in life in people that if they make a mistake, they own up to it. So I like the fact that after practice, he's like, oh, that's not what I meant. You know, I'm playing too robotic, and maybe it's because I'm trying to do exactly what my coaches want me to do, or blah, blah, blah. Like, I respect that part of it. I would say, though, he's also, like, in his year three in the NFL. He started for a couple years at Ohio State. He should probably know better than to say that. Like, he should probably know better. And it's like, you just blame yourself when you're not playing well. You don't mention the coaches. You don't mention that, you know, the offensive line's not playing great or whatever. So I think that was an issue. But I don't know, man. I don't have a lot of hope for him right now. I had Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker podcast this morning, and just doesn't sound real promising when you're watching the tape in terms of him being locked into his first receiver and not getting through his progressions. And, you know, let me tell you right now, I bet you he runs the ball a lot on Sunday against the Chiefs, plays a little bit more freewheeling, but I don't know. Is that good? It sounds like he's kind of conflicted between just kind of like balling out there and doing what the coaches want. Ideally, you're doing what the coaches want for like the first 2.5-3 seconds, and if it's not there, then you're balling. But it's like he's not – that's not happening for him for whatever reason.
So you like the over on Justin Fields' rushing yards via BetQL?
1,000%.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. Yes. I didn't even know – I wasn't going to go there with the whole prop bet thing and rushing yards, but yes, that is what I'm saying. He's going to run, dude. Let me just tell you, I would be shocked if he doesn't run and run quite a bit. Although I bet you the Chiefs and Spags, they're probably like, oh, man, this kid's going to run. He's going to run. And he's like, I mean, last year, some of the runs he had, dude, I mean, like crazy impressive.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to do that. I think it's what makes him special. I think it's a differentiator.
So I want to just give a little hat tip to Ross Tucker. Throughout the years, Ross has been amazingly available for us with great conversations, doesn't mail in the conversations and just pick up the phone and like give us 10 minutes. Like, he's really, really, you're thoughtful and you're good, and I love having you on the show. And it is a testament to your work ethic and your versatility that you have found ways to be valuable on radio, on TV, in the NFL, on college football, for Odyssey, betting space, podcast space, everything. So even though I joke about it, it sounds exhausting, man, you've done the damn thing. I love seeing you on TV, network TV, CBS, boom, this week in Tuscaloosa, and I just think it's awesome, man. So props to you.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you saying that. You know how much a fan I am of your show. And I don't know, when people say stuff like that, I just love it, dude. Like, I love it, and I always have.
Comes through.
And I think people can tell when they hear me do a game. Like, people are like, is this the way you really are? Like, my friends and family will tell you, like, this is really the way I am all the time. Like, this is how I was made.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing asset. And whether you're talking about Lane Kiffin's scheme or ball cannon, you're always all in, which I love about you. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. Have a wonderful call on Saturday, bud. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. We will, man. It's going to be awesome.
You too, buddy.
Great game. Thanks, dude.
Right on. Ross Tucker joining us this morning here on the show. And headlines with Bogus. That was good, getting the Jim Thorpe stuff.
I texted him during that saying, I bet you thought you were done defending that take by now.
I didn't get a hold of him yet. Wait till you get a hold of me.
Yeah, because there was a Ross Tucker moratorium for a little bit. There was a window where we had to leave him alone for a while, so we couldn't get him on right away. There was a time when I think your last week of whatever, vacation, paternity.
One of those.
We wanted to have him on.
My sit-in.
So this was pre-Taysom Hill still, but he was in a window where we had to wait for the season to start to get him on.
And I asked for him a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and I was told he has a sore throat. And I was like, yeah, I know you're protecting him after the Taysom Hill comment that he made. Let's get real.
The Ross Tucker embargo after he did the Jim Thorpe comment.
Feed him to the witness dogs. Protection.
Let us have him.
It is, by the way, the most DA show thing ever. That of all of the things I would badger any guest about, it would be comparing somebody to Jim Thorpe, who passed away 70 years ago.
That's you.
It's like, that's the Taysom Hill I'll die on. You respect Jim Thorpe. Damn it.
Taysom Hill I'll die on. How about that? Yeah. No Morty D'Souza there.
You respect the greatest athlete of the 1910s.
And you won because he was like, "All right, let's move on."
Yeah, I know.
He called on. He cried uncle.
I badgered him one.
So it took the Giants 6+ quarters to score their first points of the new season. In that time, they gave up 60. Not all of those points scored on the defense, but too many were, says Kayvon Thibodeau.
It's still early, but when you talk about, we've given up a little bit too much. You know, we obviously want greatness and we strive for the best. So I don't think, you know, as a defense as a whole, we've been playing to the standard we seek for ourselves.
And Big Blue will need its defense tonight against the Niners, since the offense will be missing Saquon Barkley and two starting O-linemen, including left tackle Andrew Thomas. San Francisco wide out Brandon Ayuk's a game-time decision for Thursday Night Football, thanks to a shoulder issue. Devontae Adams apparently healthy, practicing yesterday in Vegas, but a scary moment late in Sunday's blowout loss in Buffalo. Adams evaluated for a concussion after a helmet-to-helmet hit, which he did not like, from Bills safety Taylor Rapp.
That's the type of stuff that contributes to you not being on the field. You know, that's why you're in when you're blowing this out by 25 at the end of the game. You know, and, you know, maybe if that man learns how to play the game the right way, he'll see the field. But he'll have to go and live off of plays like that, I guess.
That's a pretty deep cut. You suck. You don't start. So all you can do is come in when you're up or down 20 and throw illegal hits.
I like that trash talk.
Now, I think the question would be, why was Devontae Adams playing in that same situation? Fair. To take hits from maybe guys like Taylor Rapp? But luckily, Adams is okay. Dolphins wideout Jalen Waddle, Colts QB Anthony Richardson did not practice yesterday after suffering concussions last weekend. And the Bears are re-signing veteran QB Nathan Peterman to solve all of the problems that arose yesterday. Once upon a time, Bob the Deli Man told Yankee president Randy Levine to his face to cut struggling and off-injured third baseman Josh Donaldson. The Brewers appreciate Levine finally listening to Bob.
The 1-1. And this is a high drive, deep left field. This one is way out of here. Josh Donaldson with his second home run as a Brewer. It's a three-run shot, and the Brewers on top early here tonight in the Lou. It's 3-0 Milwaukee.
So Randy Levine finally does Bob things, releasing Josh Donaldson.
Just like a Seinfeld episode where they're yelling at Yankees brass about trading Jay Buhner.
Right. And Josh Donaldson, a three-run home run for the Brewers last night. They won 8-2 in the Lou as the Cubs were taking a 13-7 pounding from the Pirates. So Milwaukee's NL Central lead is 7 games this morning. The good news for Chicago, the Marlins fell at home to the Mets 8-3, keeping them a half game behind the Cubs for the last NL wildcard spot. The Jays were 6-1 winners at Yankee Stadium. That's a 5-game win streak for them. And they stay a game ahead of Texas and Seattle, who were tied for the last AL wildcard spot. Just 37 minutes of action last night for Leo Messi, leaving the field with more muscle fatigue. Inter Miami still 1-4 zip over Toronto FC. But now Messi will miss Sunday's match to maybe get him ready for Wednesday's U.S. Open Cup final. St. Louis City and Joey Zanabody clinched a playoff spot last night. And
their head coach.
And the Seattle Sounders now second to St. Louis in the Western Conference, thanks to a 2-1 win at the Colorado Rapids. And the Connecticut Sun won their third and decisive game in Minnesota, 90-75. They reached the WNBA semis for the fifth year in a row. Dewana Bonner, 25 points, 10 boards, and 6 assists. DA, back to you.
M's are stupid tweets wanted to weigh in on spooky season, so I'm a paranormal investigator. Spooky season starts the day after Labor Day, like Boyle says.
That's right.
But at least there isn't a major holiday that's skipped the way Thanksgiving gets trucked by Christmas when they throw Mariah Carey on November 1st.
Okay. Again, spooky season is not a thing, guys. You can keep giving me dates, but there is no such thing as spooky season.
Let me ask you this, Bogues. Do you carve a pumpkin?
I'm sorry?
Do you carve a pumpkin?
I will when I get to October, yeah.
Have you ever gone apple picking with your wife or your kids?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you go to any kind of fall fest or fall festival?
I believe there's one on my calendar for the first weekend of October, yeah.
Let me ask you another set of questions really quickly. Do you enjoy pumpkin spice?
Eh, no thank you.
Okay. When do you typically have a fall day where you and the wife or you and the family make any kind of fall goodies like an apple pie, baked things, cookies?
We do not, no.
All right, well, I know there's plenty of fall festivals in September, and that's case closed.
Come back, kid, tweet. Spooky season starts that Saturday after Labor Day. I'm officially putting in an application to become a PB boy. Now, there's PB boys, but there's also spooky boys.
Yeah, so you want to be a spooky boy. That's where you're going here. You got to make a bet on Halloween to be a PB boy, but otherwise you're a spooky boy. Or, I mean, it's very easy. Just eat some apple pie on a random Tuesday in September, and you're in.
My wife asked me, so what should we dress up AJ's Halloween? I'm going to come home today and say, he's going to be a spooky boy. Spooky boy for Halloween. When we come back, advanced analytics and your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Boyle versus Bogish about spooky season. Jay tweets, toast to Bogish for having good takes on the freaks who decorate the month before their actual holiday starts.
There we go.
No Halloween decoration should go up before October 1st. No Christmas BS should be seen until Santa is spotted at the Macy's parade.
Ho, ho, ho. Sports Giants.
Bouncing Baby Boy follows that up with, I'm toasting to Bogues for putting Boyle in his place. It's September, not October. Can we enjoy 1 month before celebrating the next?
Boyle oiled by itself, not terrible.
People having fun with the spooky season. Why are you such a grouch? I don't understand.
Why are you declaring it spooky season?
It is spooky season, bro.
When does spooky season, bro, start?
Probably after Labor Day.
Is that right?
That first weekend after Labor Day where you know, all right, it's not a summer weekend. I have work or school. I got to take the kids to school on the Monday after. This is the first weekend of fall.
You dog!
For the record, at least here in New York, it was 90 and max humidity the week after Labor Day. That ain't spooky season, bro.
I'm Andrew Bogish, Tua Tagovailoa.
Hey, boys. I'm coming.
Right around that time, the first Saturday after Labor Day, that's kickoff to spooky season. I don't understand why you get so angry about it. Like, people putting up Halloween lights or Christmas lights, why does that ruin your day? because you don't want to speed up time. You come off as a beta. You come off as a loser.
My day wasn't ruined, but
it
yeah,
was.
Let's
you
not speed up time.
You want to go smack your neighbor's Dracula mascot.
Let's live in the now, man.
I am living in the now.
Anyway, I like Halloween. I don't want to be tired of Halloween by mid-October because on September 8th, somebody hung a scarecrow from their front in their front lawn. Average penis size.
Pro boner.
Let people live the way they want to live.
No.
Why does that? You know what? I'm bringing in Halloween lights for the freaking show next week.
You don't have that authority.
Yeah?
No, yeah, because Pete will be back next week and he'll be fully in charge. I think he'll be back next week. So, no, that will not be happening.
Very bland. But I was a baby.
Spooky boys unite.
Che non ho mai veduto e vissuto con te.
Dog!
Yes, 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 yes! M-U, rah, 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 ring at Ahoya with an M-U, rah, rah.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail. Final question today. Is it spooky season yet? 60% of you say, no, it's too early. SpookyLittleHalloween.com is the foremost authority in all things spooky season. States on their website, spooky season defined as the time of year when you enjoy all things you love about fall, Halloween, etc. Since the bogus household is not allowed to enjoy in-between holiday seasons, quote, I hope they're at least allowed to still wear costumes this year for Halloween. That's what the data department has added. Joseph tweets, and not sure if you guys will see this, but my old high school in Oklahoma, we had a team preacher for football. His name was Rusty Gunn. He named his kids Tommy, Gatlin, and a daughter whose nickname was BB. His sons now play for the team. God bless that Oklahoma preacher. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Pat Boyle, your executive producer. Thanks to Billy Giacolo on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow. I'm DA and the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.